Folks, do you believe in our founders' vision for America? That our republic will only survive if we are an educated and informed people who know our rights and duties? Since 1844, Hillsdale College has sought to educate all who wish to learn about these timeless principles of self-government. For more than 50 years, the college has worked to spread that mission by sending Imprimis, their Digest of Liberty, to millions of Americans, including me. Imprimis features some of the best speeches given at Hillsdale events, and now an audio version of the popular speech digest is available in a new podcast of the same name. And like the printed publication, Imprimis the podcast is always free. You can hear the best arguments from speakers such as Christopher Rufo, Mark Stein, and Hillsdale College President Larry P. Arn, among many others, all read by Hillsdale students. Visit DanaForHillsdale.com to subscribe today and start listening to Imprimis today, all for free. To listen, visit DanaForHillsdale.com. That's DanaForHillsdale.com.
Let me go back to the first question of the briefing. I know you said not a lot's changed since yesterday and that it's a personal matter, but from a presidential perspective, is there any possibility that the president would end up pardoning his son?
No.
Well, is there?
I just said no. I just answered. Go ahead.
How many of you believe this? Show of hands.
No hands.
All of you out there? All of you? How many of you believe that? What KJP just said, that no one is at all going to pardon Hunter. How many of y'all believe it? I don't see any hands. Okay, so none. Nobody. Nobody believes it. I didn't either. I don't believe it either. I mean, add that to the long list of lies that they've told this administration. Welcome to the show. Happy Friday to you. Your lovable curmudgeon Dana Lash here with you. And we got a lot to hit because there's been a lot of news just in the past 24 hours. Since we were last together, there's been some news. We're going to get into all of it, especially, particularly, the latest news regarding whatever is happening with our justice system and now these new charges. There's a new piece up at Chapter and Verse, the newsletter over at Substack. Lorraine has it up. And you need to go, if you want all the latest, you can check that out. We're going to talk about some of it as well. Going along with this, because that was the press briefing yesterday, I did find it particularly stunning how it was pretty much the same day. After you have, you know, it comes out that the DOJ had been working with Hunter Biden's campaign, or Hunter Biden's campaign, same thing, Hunter Biden's attorneys, the Biden campaign, Hunter Biden's attorneys working with them to craft out this wink, wink, nudge, nudge kind of deal for him so that he could skate on all these charges. Then it comes out, oh, by the way, here's a couple of other charges related to Mar-a-Lago. Now, I was thinking about this earlier. Nothing makes people disregard the law more than when they see it not equally applied or equally upheld. I mean, I think that's a fair point. I mean, it's really a lot of us out there, whether you're listening to this radio program across the country or watching the simulcast on YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV, you kind of, you know, you think similarly. It's, yeah, you know, it really makes you just not want to follow any laws when you see them not upheld with any. I mean, the Lady Justice is supposed to be blind, and she's definitely not in this instance with anything that relates to the Bidens or any of this stuff. So with all of this, I mean, it's shocking to see that they decided that they're going to go ahead and push through with some of these charges, some of these other charges as it relates to Mar-a-Lago. Part of me thinks, are they trying to hurt themselves going into 2024? When you have gay IRS agents that come out and say, oh, this is bad, this is completely unfair the way that this system is operating, that's why we're blowing the whistle on it, you know, that says a lot when you have a lot of whistleblowers from within these same agencies coming out. So you had the Hunter Biden plea deal. And then now there's these new charges. Oh, and a new co-conspirator. The new defendant, Carlos D. Oliveira, is the property manager at Mar-a-Lago. The new charges include one classified document, and it's, as according to, and we have it up again, a chapter and verse, the newsletter for the show, as Lorraine has published. It's likely the one that, so apparently they were saying that he wanted to delete some kind of security footage of people moving boxes around the storage room of Mar-a-Lago. Is that correct?
I understand.
Like, get rid of or move boxes around? Does it matter?
It does. I think move boxes around.
I mean, I'm almost at the point where I don't even care. You know why? Because where's the... I just, you're going literally the day after. Woo! Literally the day after. Hunter Biden, all this evidence. I mean, he could have dead hookers in his trunk and they'd be like, nothing to see here. Nothing to see here with Hunter. So they were, the new defendant, they said that these charges, it's an attempt to delete the security footage. He apparently asked this guy to do it, according to the DOJ. He told his property manager, Mar-a-Lago, to delete the security camera footage in a bid to thwart federal investigators. Prosecutors claimed in a superseding indictment that hits the former president with additional charges, 60-page file, blah, 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 blah. It's that Jack Smith guy, the Subway sandwich guy. And so they say that this guy is apparently now a co-conspirator to hide security documents. Again, were they hiding or moving him around? I don't know. So much of anything is semantics anymore. I hate all of it. I mean, are there some issues with some of the stuff in Mar-a-Lago? Well, yeah, but that's not what the scandal is. The scandal is that there were a hell of a lot of issues with Hillary Clinton and nothing ever came up with that. Do you see what I'm talking about? The unequal application of the law. So how am I to take one part of the law seriously when you totally disregard the other part of the law? Make an argument. Somebody. This is one of the reasons why I don't focus on this all that much, because I am almost at the point where I disregard all of it. I cannot take seriously the claims from the federal government about any kind of law breaking anything. After we've seen all of this play out. So just to get you set up so you know what they're talking about. It's this property manager. And it was all in Mar-a-Lago. And apparently they were 64 boxes moved, they said in the charging docs, at Trump's discretion, out of the storage room into the estate in preparation for a search by his attorney, who apparently was not privy to the scheme of moving boxes. I don't know. This is so stupid. Wait, if you're moving them from one location to another, if they're searching the entire property, that means that there's no part of the property that's off limits, right? I don't know. And then they noticed surveillance cameras on the property near the storage room. That's when they apparently had, they issued a subpoena requiring the footage. And apparently after that, that's when they alleged that Trump called the property manager on the evening of June 24th and asked for him to wipe the cameras. And so that's how that apparently all worked. And so you remember the other guy, his valet, the NAUTA guy, NAUTA. He was apparently going to travel with Trump to Illinois, and then he changed his plans to go to Palm Beach, according to the documents. And he said that his change in travel plans, he had a family emergency, and then he used a shushing emoji, according to the documents. So that's, and they said that the property manager repeated that the quote unquote boss had made the request and asked the employee, what are we going to do, etc. And apparently they were meeting in the bushes, the property manager, and he was meeting the valet or the valet, British style, of Trump. Twice on a neighboring property, returning to the resort's IT office in between, et cetera, et cetera. So they're saying that he was basically trying to obstruct. Ultimately, that's what they're alleging. That he wouldn't hand over the security footage, that he was trying to hide the evidence, and that he was, that's ultimately what all this is, obstruction. That's what they're claiming that it is. The day after this stuff with, don't forget, Sam Bankman-Fried was, all the charges were dropped against him. So all that was done. Okay. There you go. Now, all the campaign finance charges against him. That's really convenient, you know? It really pays to be a Democrat. You can do whatever the hell you want, right? Do whatever you want. Nobody says the thing. Now, and we're going to talk more about this because, I mean, it really does. You know, when you, as more and more people have been tearing apart the plea agreement and they see just how far Hunter Biden's attorneys were going to basically commit fraud. They were trying to be, they were trying to deceive the judge. That looks bad. I don't know how that's not an ethics violation. So all of this, and now you have these additional charges filed. All of this happening, and then we had some 2024 nonsense that hit out last night. And I'm going to talk more about this here coming up later on in the show, but if you get the newsletter, if you follow me at all on Twitter, then you saw some of it. Look, I'm really clear with people. One of the reasons, you know, that I came out and I let you know who what I think about the primary and where I am on things is because number one, I'm just very transparent. Number two, I also think that you have to respect your audience. And I think people who deceive their audiences don't have respect for them. And there are a lot of people out there, and it's why they're not as successful. A lot of people out there who think that you're too stupid to know what they think, really. And it's true. And they operate on that goofy premise. Number three, because why not? Why can't we just, I hate the cloak and dagger stuff. I cannot stand that. Everyone thinks they're playing 4D chess when really they're playing Connect Four. Stop it. And wherever I am is not telling you to be in a certain place. So I saw this stuff yesterday, and we're going to dive into all of this coming up because I think Republicans made a huge mistake. And it has to do with Tim Scott, Byron Donalds, Ron DeSantis, and the Trump folks, Trump campaign. And it happened, it all concerned Florida, their Department of Education, their new academic standards. So if you're unfamiliar with the story, a quick 30-second brief. You guys remember the Stop Woke Act? That was the thing that was signed in 2022. It mandated instruction, for one thing, on African-American history. Secondly, it banned any kind of critical race theory, the Marxism, this, you know, all the sexual studies, et cetera, et cetera. Shortly after that, that's when you had the College Board that presented a pilot course for AP studies on African-American history. And they were going to include queer theory and a whole bunch of stuff that absolutely had nothing to do with Black history at all whatsoever. And that's when the Florida Department of Education said, no, this is not academic. It's illiberal propaganda nonsense. We're not going to pretend that this is in any way actual instruction. And that's when Kamala Harris first lost her mind and said, oh, it's so bad. You're so ignorant, et cetera, et cetera. These standards are amazing. So fast forward to last week when you had the Florida Department of Education that passed some new standards, and they actually had different work groups because they have, you know, a ton of different modules. I can't remember, it's like 200 something pages out of all of this. And they had all these scholars working on this, including civil rights activists, scholars like we're going to talk about Dr. Allen here coming up. But all these scholars that were working together to put all of this stuff in one packet. And they passed it. Florida Department of Education voted on it last week. They passed it. And then Democrats decided to seize on it again. And they tried to make a very, very big deal out of one line. And that the scholars were explaining their purpose in having this included in the, or having this discussion included in the packet. And the left jumped on it. And then you had a couple of Republicans that made remarks, and the media seized upon that to drive the schism further apart between, you know, the DeSantis folks and the Trump folks. And now the Congressional Black Caucus wants to go in, and they're threatening to investigate and weaponize the FBI and DOJ and everyone they can, because they're alleging that Florida may or may not have violated federal discrimination laws with the new curriculum, which is, of course, bunk. So that's where we are. And there were a lot of people that were making a lot of bad moves yesterday, including calling my producer last night and screaming at him because of a tweet, like a squeaker from a damn COD lobby. So a lot of stuff has happened in the past 24 hours, and we're going to dive into all of it. Also coming up on the economic front, my good friend Charles Payne is going to join us because, well, we have the FedNow payment system, and then we got the rate hikes, and they're also trying to say that we're coming out of the recession. What? What? Oh, yeah, inflation. What? Where are these people getting this information? So we're going to have Charles set it all straight. So we've got to talk about all of this. Also, we got some culture stuff for you in Florida, man. You guys know this. You guys know the drill.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle Ready-to-Drink Coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Commercial real estate is in a Category 5 hurricane. With the Fed continuing to unsuccessfully raise interest rates to curb inflation, real estate loans in 2 years are going to top $2 trillion. Could over 500 banks go bankrupt? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick 5.
I actually want to throw something. Here's the headline. Someone's literally, I'm going to pull Amy Klobuchar and throw my brush. That's what's going to happen right now. Here's the headline. Hunter Biden remains in good standing, a good standing member of D.C. bar, despite facing criminal charges. We're all looking at each other like, what? We all turned into that monkey puppet looking at each other. We're all that viral. We're all that meme. Yeah, he continues to be in a good standing member of the D.C. bar. Daily Caller had the story first. They said that he remains in good standing despite the rules of professional conduct, saying it's misconduct for him to commit a criminal act that reflects adversely on a lawyer's honesty, trustworthiness, or fitness as a lawyer in other respects. And they said that, anybody else, again, it's that private citizen privilege, PCP, what? Okay, I don't know what this is, but we got to kill all the ticks. Why do they exist? Those and mosquitoes, why? 500,000 Americans have developed a red meat allergy after being bitten by a tick, and the majority are completely unaware of the link. Yeah, it's called the alpha gal, which I immediately hate, the whole phrasing of that, syndrome, and it's caused by sugar carried by ticks. They said when it gets in the body, it triggers an immune overreaction, and the body learns to fight it. And so they say that, I mean, literally 500,000 people, it's a red meat allergy. And they think that as many, they said the CDC said they confirmed at least 100,000 patients have it, but they estimate that as many as 450,000 are affected. An infected person eats beef, pork, venison, or other red meat, that's when you get the reaction. It can also be triggered by milk, gelatin, or other animal products. And it's the sugar that is in meat from mammals and gross tick spit. Tick spit, that's a metal band name, but it's like a country fried metal band name. Right, tick spit. That's actually amazing. Shop class is making a comeback, finally. This is cool. High school shop class is back, and it's showing students alternatives to overpriced traditional colleges. So this is awesome that we're seeing this, particularly as more and more openings, job openings in the trades come to fruition. Really cool stuff. Stick with us. We got Charles Payne next. Folks, your financial freedom is at stake when the government thrives on creating unrelenting inflation, an astronomical debt, crippling interest rates, and market turmoil that we haven't seen in decades. And now you have an administration that wants to tax everything that you have to fund runaway entitlement spending. You should empower yourself with opportunity and the freedom to pursue success and to keep the fruits of your hard work. And if you want to protect your future, you should call a precious metals dealer that I trust, American Hartford Gold. They can show you how to protect your savings and retirement accounts by diversifying your portfolio with physical gold and silver. And all it takes to get started is a short phone call. And American Hartford Gold can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside your IRA or 401k. They make it easy. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
So the staff now has a noticeable slowdown in growth starting later this year in the forecast. But given the resilience of the economy recently, they are no longer forecasting a recession.
No longer forecasting a recession. I don't know who to believe anymore, because that's Jerome Powell who is saying this. But then if you look online, all the analysts, well, they're like divided. For instance, they're saying that why is Jerome Powell gaslighting us about the odds of a recession? This was just 19 hours ago that this ran. Analysts can't decide, rolling recession, etc. It's investors shun U.S. consumer stocks over recession fears. At the same time, Wall Street Journal had a piece out where they were saying that after GDP data, recession odds got longer. We know what's in our bank account. We know how our money's performing. We know how much we're making in the stock market. But, I mean, how do you plan ahead when the experts can't even, they're not even agreeing? So this is where we go to the one person we know who's going to be telling us the truth and going to be doing it straight. Our friend Charles Payne, host of Making Money with Charles Payne, weekdays 2 to 3 Eastern on Fox Business. He joins us now on the phone. Charles, my friend, always a pleasure. Set us straight. We can trust you. What's the real scoop here? I mean, are we in a recession? Are we coming out of it? How do we plan?
Some of us are in a recession and have been in for a long time. I think the first thing, Dana, is we always group everyone together. The person who hasn't worked in 6 months is on the same page as the person with $10 billion in the bank account, right? Yes. And I think that's one of the first areas they make the mistake. Like, no, we're not in a recession. You mean that part of the economy is not in a recession? We've been in one for a long time. Let me give you a case in point. So this morning we got the consumer sentiment report in. Explosive. It has surged back up. It's at the highest level since 2001, October 2001. You say to yourself, golly, that's amazing. Then you look closer. The top percentile rocketed up significantly, but the bottom tier of income is actually down and going lower. So we live in a bifurcated economy, and it's been skewed. I am so frustrated because all of those folks that you were talking about in the intro, these Wall Street experts, I interview them every day, and I want to scream. I try to be a polite guy, so I call them out politely, and I've been less polite more recently because they stick to their guns. They stick to their guns. I had two of the top Wall Street analysts on to help me hash out the Fed on Wednesday, and they both are like, sort of like, no, this is what the data says. I'm like, you know what? You've never, ever, ever had to deal. I mean, Biden alone, $6.7 trillion extra into the economy. $2 trillion for people to go out and buy stuff. I mean, and now you've got the Inflation Reduction Act, which is the exact opposite. You've got all of these things. So the way I equate it is the economy, listen, they put too much money in the economy. They trigger inflation that we thought we've passed these sort of inflation spikes, right? Because in the 1970s, we had these unique combination of things. We didn't produce our own oil, the Arab oil embargo, some other things. We thought we would never have inflation to the degree that we're even grappling with it at this very moment. So we got it. It took trillions of dollars. Thank you, Biden. We appreciate it. So the Fed job is to put that out. The Fed can't really effectively put that out as long as they keep pumping money in, unless they go too crazy, and that's to try to wreck the entire economy. So where we are right now is you can argue we have a rolling recession. There's parts of that that's true. At parts of the economy that obviously, I got a guy coming on today from the freight side, the trucking industry, completely, just falling completely apart. There are actually more real estate agents right now than there are homes for sale. So you've got those kind of things. And what breaks my heart is the folks who are kind of caught in all of this, regular folks on Main Street, because, again, the president, he gets to go out and say, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And he doesn't adjust anything for inflation. So for him, everything's hunky-dory. But for regular folks, it's really, really getting tough out there. And, as far as in a quote-unquote official recession, I don't know. Because remember, we have back-to-back negative quarters of growth, and they came and said, well, we're going to change the definition of recession. So if that's the case, then we may never have one as long as Biden's president. But
that's right.
Just
change the definitions.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what the hell? Okay, you move the goalposts. But It is sort of the wild card, really, has been all of that money that was pumped into this economy. No one has any way of modeling for that. It's never happened before. I will tell you, though, when it's all said and done, if you look at polls on how people feel about the economy, that tells you that push come to shove, I think people in the future will say, hey, don't pump in trillions of dollars. Don't pay me twice as much money not to go to work than to go to work, because even as I get a pay increase, I'm not keeping up with my bills.
Right. Exactly. Talking with our friend Charles Payne and the rate hikes, too, as well. I mean, they just announced another one, I think, what, a 0.25%. So it's going to be at 5.5. How is this going to be the last one that they do for a while? What's going to be the outcome of this?
They say they're data dependent. So, you know, they'll comb through the data and they'll look at it, you know, and see what's going on. You know, and again, there's still so much money sloshing around out there. The so-called excess savings is down to maybe $600 billion. So, and people are maxing out their credit cards. You know, MasterCard came out with their earnings this week, and cross-border transactions were up 155% pre-COVID. And, you know, listen, on one hand, it's great. You know, you got a lot of people in this country who are traveling now who never even thought about getting on a plane. Right. You know, so that's one thing. But they get there, they can't do much, right? I mean, I know people, you know, they kind of post a few pictures on social media. I'm in Vegas. I was on a strip, right? You at a show? No, I couldn't afford the show, but I'm walking the strip.
I can see the fountain. I see the Bellagio fountain. That's my entertainment tonight.
Exactly. You know, that's all I'm saying, right? Like, everyone out, it's great that you went out there, but what did you do? Well, you know, check this out.
Right.
So we're sort of living on borrowed time. That's the best way to put it. We are living on borrowed time because interest rate payments on credit cards are at an all-time high. Interest rate payments on auto loans are at a 16-year high. By the way, rejections outpace applications now for auto loans. I was waiting online. I was waiting on hold, and I heard one of your commercials talking about small businesses. They are taking it on the chin. Small business confidence continues to crater. So we're in this sort of interesting area. It's borrowed time because we never had to sort of absorb this much money before. And I think that's what's got Wall Street, economists all baffled. But they won't, you know, they're too proud to make any adjustments. Well, this has always worked. It doesn't work right now because of these unusual circumstances. But I think the average person, and I would rather look at political polls than economic polls right now, for the true sense of how, you know, each individual American feels right now, because they understand their circumstances better than this Wall Street stuff.
Yeah, that's so true. Talking with our friend Charles Payne, host of Making Money with Charles Payne. I wanted to ask you, I saw your tweet about Sam Bankman-Fried. I mean, I guess it's D different. I don't know. It's just, you know, some people can get away with everything. And you said that sunlight isn't strong enough anymore, because now they're not pursuing campaign finance charges against this FTX founder. And this is like, what, the second time they've had a forego charging this guy. He still has, from what I understand, some wire and securities fraud charges. But I mean, the bulk of the campaign finance stuff, I mean, it's he's free to walk. Talk to me about this, because I mean, this is infuriating. I mean, this is billions of dollars we're talking about.
It's so much money, and what they were trying to do with that money, the rules they were trying to rewrite. Did you see last week his brother Gabe? So Gabe, they're what they call altruistic something, extremists or whatever. They've got a name for themselves, right? You know, they're the hierarchy of all humanity. And so one of the things they were doing is they were trying to buy a country.
Yes,
one of the
whole country
in the world, the whole damn country. They wanted to buy it, and they were going to turn it into like a safe zone for all their fellow intellectuals. And they were going to also work on a better species of humankind. I mean, think about in history when people have done that. We've known some pretty evil regimes in past history who thought they could make a perfect a human being. And so this is the kind of stuff they were trying to buy Congress off, you know, change the rules of investing, particularly in crypto, you know, maybe, you know, shield their country that they were going to buy, whatever it is. And so everyone has seen this theft, this brazen theft. I tell you, I look at the schematic of the business plan when it was designed. And this thing was so elaborate, but I think it was designed from day one to be a theft machine. And the mom and pop, they got to bring them in. They really do. They're brilliant people. They've trained folks in economics. They've trained folks in a lot of things. I think they're behind that scheme. It's just my opinion. You know, I don't think Sam Bankman-Fried put this together.
Right.
And so, you know, there are also these altruistic folks who, you know, who are better than everyone else. But don't worry, they'll save some of us, too. I mean, someone's got to do the work alongside the robots. But
right.
it is infuriating because it's happening in plain sight. We see it. We see the arrogance. We see it. And the reason it's happening is because this is not just about Sam Bankman-Fried. This is about Silicon Valley. Silicon Valley, who, by the way, had the bank that they bank at was bailed out. Not the bank, but all of them and all of their customers. Mm-hmm. They were bailed out. This is the most powerful entity out there. They're more powerful than the folks on Wall Street. And combined, they just make a juggernaut of pure greed, unadulterated greed. And so it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart because very little fanfare. The guy just walks out with a dumb grin. And he gets away with this. Again, he was stealing the money from hardworking people, particularly young people, young adults, who were trying to get a jump start on their lives. He took their money. He stole their money. He paid himself billions of dollars. And there's just no outrage. So before, we used to say, hey, if this stuff gets into the sunlight of day, we'll get our pitchforks and our torches, and we'll have justice. Well, you know what? I don't know if we're too busy playing video games or maybe going to Las Vegas just to look at the Bellagio water exhibit. We're not doing it. We need to rise up. We need to find a way to fight back because this deep slumber that we're in, when we wake up, it's going to be too late.
It's going to be too late. I mean, and it is a deep slumber to ignore, you know, like a $40 million bribe to China. That's a deep slumber indeed. So what weird times we're living in. Our friend Charles Payne, always appreciate you. You can watch his show every day, Making Money with Charles Payne, weekdays 2 to 3 Eastern on Fox Business. Charles, always appreciate you, my friend. Have
Same
a great
here.
Weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We have more to come, folks, as we wrap up this first hour already. Yeah, $40 million bribe. China. I like the island idea is one of the goofiest things. I actually thought that was a fake story when I first read it. I didn't think it was real. I literally had to go, and it wasn't until I saw him actually respond to somebody. I have his tweet up. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is a real story. Okay, because I think Kane sent it to me, and I was like, this is fake. You got taken. And no, it was an actual real story. Dude was going to buy a whole country. Whole country. All right, as we get moving, our partners for this portion of our program, our friends over at Kel-Tec, the KSG. This is the OG shotgun. This is the one that started it all. Let me tell you, I know everybody's very particular about what they have for home defense. Like if you ask a firearm owner or if you ask someone, they're all very opinionated on what they want for home defense and particularly EDC, their everyday carry. But honestly, the KSG is one of the best dang things you could get for home defense. Now, as I said, this is the shotgun that really it changed the game. It's the first 12-gauge pump-action shotgun chamber for 3-inch shells. Dual tube magazine, so you have a capacity of 12 plus 1. 6 rounds in each tube plus 1 chamber. Now, you can do the 2 3/4-inch shells as well. That's 7 plus 7 plus 1, so that's 15 shells. Downward shell ejection, also a game changer. It makes it truly ambidextrous. Shells ejected away from your face. It is smooth. It's lightweight. It is simple and reliable, like a good pump action should be. Very compact as well. Great for confined spaces. I mean, it's great for, you know, backcountry, anywhere in between, but for home defense, this is a go-to. It really is. And it's great for law enforcement as well. Learn more about the KSG at KeltecWeapons.com. It was also in John Wick, just FYI. KeltecWeapons.com. Tell them that Dana sent you.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
I was raised in a neighborhood where I felt self-conscious my name didn't end in O. And I want you to know, I'm the only non-Italian named the Man of the Year by the Italian Society. And when I got the award, I said, everybody would know what I was going to say. And I was thinking about this. And I named all the guys and families I grew up with. Donato, anyway, went through the list. I was thinking about it. I deserve this one. but I may be Irish, but I'm not stupid. I married Dominic Giacoppa's granddaughter.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Why does he do the coin pouch with his hand? I was telling Kane about all the memes that I was seeing of this. He's like, why is he doing this? I may be Irish, but I am not stupid. Biden to the Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni. Yeah. My gosh. Yeah. That's he actually was not supportive of her win. What did he say about it? He slammed her win because she was described as being, quote unquote, far right. I mean, can you imagine just like simply wanting to enforce your border laws and not wanting to print a bunch of money and, you know, all of this? I mean, that's crazy how that's considered, quote unquote, far right. Amazing, right? Good grief. Oh, and she didn't like all the lockdown stuff. Oh, my gosh, crazy how it's considered far right. Oh, my word. They tried to smear her right out of the gate. And he was very unsupportive. I mean, he, you know, most world leaders, you know, even if it's not somebody they like, they always do the requisite. Oh, so congratulations to so-and-so. It's just the diplomacy dance. And I can't remember what he said about it, but he was not supportive of her winning. Well, because I think he would have to then look like he's being nice to an ideology that he has to oppose here at home. Interesting. Gosh, the way the news has been, far right Italian prime minister, right wing Italian prime minister, super far right. I'm surprised they haven't called her Mega MAGA yet. Super. By the way, Mega MAGA and Mega Mind. Why has there not been any like memes about that? I'm shocked. So yeah, they're having talks. So they have some other leaders there as well. But he was not very he was like fear mongering all over it. They were saying, "Oh, it's a neo fascist." Oh my gosh, that's not. They say that about everything. Good grief. But he may be Irish, but he's not stupid. Whatever that means. He also told her, can we play audio soundbite 16? I hope you'll be nice to me. Listen to this.
I also look forward to pursuing an ambitious agenda for progress, and I hope you'll be nice to me as a chairman.
She just laughed, as we all would. Such strength. So good. All right, coming up in our second hour, we got Florida Man. I got to tell you, I found this one Florida story last night, and the chat participants on YouTube found it also. I was hoping that wouldn't happen because they sent it. You know what I'm talking about.
I think I do.
It is the most awkward Florida story in our 10-year history of doing Florida Man.
Oh.
Kane, you know it is.
That's
you know it is. Come on. When have we ever had a story that is that bad? I don't even know how to.
It's true.
So pray for us. And we're going to get into some of the Florida Department of Education. I just want to put that whole controversy to bed. We're going to have this discussion about it. And the media trying to bait the right. And the right has got to stop going, nom, 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 love bait, nom, nom. We've got to stop this. We've got. I can't deal with it anymore. You see it. You know it's bait. And yet they still eat it up. Stop it. So we're going to discuss all of that. Like what happened, what people are mad about, what they're saying about it, and then how the media is trying to use it to drive further division. It's a two birds, one stone strategy. They're trying to drive division while at the same time resurrect claims of racial animosity. So we'll discuss all of that and more. You don't want to miss second hour coming up. Stick with us.
As a country founded upon freedom, the greatest deprivation of freedom was slavery. There's no silver lining in freedom, in slavery. The truth is that anything you can learn, that any benefits that people suggest you had during slavery, you would have had as a free person. What slavery was really about separating families, about mutilating humans, and even raping their wives. It was just devastating. So I would hope that every person in our country, and certainly running for president, would appreciate that. And listen, people have bad days. Sometimes they regret what they say. And we should ask them again to clarify the positions.
So I feel like that was a major mistake that Tim Scott made there. A massively major mistake with that audio soundbite. And I'm going to explain why. Welcome to the show. Dana Lash here with you, top of this second hour. And we've been covering there is no justice. What justice? The Mar-a-Lago, the new Mar-a-Lago stuff, the Hunter Biden stuff. I wanted to touch on this because this is, the media is trying to make this such a big thing for you. And they've been saturating. I mean, I was looking at, it's the Trump stuff and then this. is pretty much kind of what the media has been pushing. And so this had to do, and I wrote a piece on this. It came out last night over at Substack. It had all to do with the Florida Department of Education new academic standards. So I'm going to get up to the point where, you know, Tim Scott had this, because I feel like this audio soundbite, what he did there was he accepted the media's partisan framing of an issue and affirmed it by answering to it without disputing it. That's a rookie mistake. I don't believe that he makes rookie mistakes. And I think that he did it because he would rather accept a false narrative as to make a primary jab. And I think that's lame. I mean, if you're going to primary people, fine. But don't sit here and bitch about media treatment and media framing of you or any of the issues you support while you simultaneously use that exact same construct to go after others over false narratives in a primary. You cannot have it both ways. You can't be the beneficiary of it and also the victim of media malpractice. So this all started with this Florida Department of Academic, these new standards that passed last week. Now, you remember you had in 2022 the Stop Woke Act that Republicans passed in Florida. It was signed into law. It mandates instruction on Black history. It prohibits the inclusion of illiberal anti-academic propaganda that they were trying to have as a substitute for actual academic study, right? And then not long after, you had the Florida Department of Education. They rejected the College Board's AP pilot course that they put out, where it was on Black history, on African-American studies, after it was discovered that, you know, it was a little bit less about African-American history and more about studies of queer theory and the promotion of communism, CRT, DEI, all of that. Now, at the time, Kamala Harris was praising that AP pilot course standard, praising it. And she was infuriated when it was rejected. She said that the rejection was, quote, extremist. So last week, Florida Department of Education passed these new standards, new academic standards. And she flew herself to Jacksonville for this very, very political performance theater. She blasted the new standards for this, the African-American history module. And the problem is that what she's objecting to in the new standards was the same in the old standards and is still the same in the current AP test. I don't know. It's just what it is. This is the sentence. Let me explain what it is. The new curriculum is a 200 plus page curriculum. It's all these different modules on these different subjects. And this is the sentence out of the 200 plus page curriculum that she commented on and that everyone is focusing on. Now, here's from it's from the bottom of page 6. I have the PDF linked. You can read the actual thing yourself. So they have it under clarification 1, benchmark clarifications. Here's the sentence. It says, quote, instruction includes how slaves developed skills, which in some instances could be applied for their personal benefit. That's from the new packet. And there were objections to this. We're going to get to that here in a moment. The old College Board, the old standards, literally said, quote, and this is on page 72 of their packet, in addition to agricultural work, enslaved people learned specialized trades and worked as painters, carpenters, tailors, and musicians and healers in the North and South. Once free, they said American-Americans, you know, I mean, it's a College Board. I guess nobody decided to edit their stuff. American-Americans used these skills to provide for themselves and others. So the new standards say the same thing as the old standards, but it became racist when it was African-American scholars that were working with Florida for its inclusion in new standards, and the left could then tie it to DeSantis and Republicans. So it's interesting because to date, Kamala Harris hasn't criticized the College Board, which still has that. And it's also weird because the College Board has been oddly silent on Kamala Harris criticizing the language that is in the new standards that is also in the old one. It's kind of interesting. Now, there were people, there are some, the left is really focusing on, and some Republicans, I think, have honestly, I think it is rhetorical red herring, and I think it's bait. They're seizing on the word benefit. We're getting into semantics now. Now, this is what Dr. William Allen, he is the co-author of these standards. In fact, he was a member of the Florida African American History Standards Work Group. They were the ones that workshopped and wrote this module for this history course. And he was explaining this. He did an interview with ABC and they didn't run the whole thing, interestingly. First, they didn't run it. Then they only ran like a little bit of it. And he had said that when he was talking about, because they were asking him specifically about, you know, some of this. And this, he'd said that the only criticism he's encountered is a single one that was articulated by the VP, he said, in which was an error. He said, it, you know, her claim, he said that it's not portraying slavery as beneficial, he says, but rather how African Americans managed to prove themselves adaptable and resilient in a time of crisis. He noted it was never said that slavery was beneficial to Africans. He said what was said, and he's a civil rights activist, and he's a descendant of slaves. He said what was said, and anyone who reads this will see this with clarity, it is the case that Africans proved resourceful and resilient and adaptive and were able to develop skills and aptitudes which served to their benefit both while enslaved and after enslavement. And then he added his story. Yeah, listen to this. Kane has this cut. And then he also talked about his history. Listen.
Critics whom I haven't seen or heard. The only criticism I've encountered so far is a single one that was articulated by the vice president, and which was an error. As I stated in my response to the vice president, it was categorically false. It was never said that slavery was beneficial to Africans. What was said, and anyone who reads this will see this with clarity, it is the case that Africans proved resourceful, resilient, and adaptive, and were able to develop skills and aptitudes which served to their benefit, both while enslaved and after enslavement.
And he, when he was on with Jesse Waters, he talked about some of his family history. And he also said, he talked about his great-grandfather. He said his great-grandfather came from the islands. He said he was enslaved here, and his own resourcefulness and resilience and adaptiveness was instrumental in producing for his family, his descendants, and the ability to prosper here in this country. He says, I think that anyone who would try to change that language would be denying that my great-grandfather made any contribution. I certainly would not endorse doing that. And he added, he goes, you know, Frederick Douglass should tell her. He said Douglass wrote an autobiography in which he described how the mistress of his slave owner began to teach him to read. This is his quote from Waters. He said, she pulled back the curtain through which a glimmer of light showed before the master made her close it. But that glimmer of light was enough for Douglass to illuminate a bright flame that he exploited to his benefit and the country's benefit thereafter. He said, such examples are numerous, and they're detailing stories of those who suffered the indignity of slavery time and again. And he said, what this curriculum is about is having people who live the experience, who live the history, tell their stories. And nothing is more important than that. We never, ever erase the stories of people who lived the stories. And he says, no one has a right to interpret before first understanding. And the stories, as the people who live them, understand them themselves. I think omitting the perspective of the actual civil rights activist who crafted this, I understand their perspective on this, because they are highlighting the resiliency that carried people through as they were suffering the indignity of slavery. And so then yesterday, it came out, because we had this happening, Kamala Harris, and then the DeSantis people, and Governor DeSantis said something to Kamala Harris. He responded to her and slammed her. In fact, a reporter had asked him about it. This is audio soundbite 3. This was at a press stop yesterday. Listen.
Were there beneficial aspects to slavery?
That's not what the curriculum says.
What do you think?
It's not. And the curriculum is very clear. You have, I think it's like 200 plus pages of all kinds of stuff that you can't read that. Have you read it?
So what's your opinion?
Have you read it?
I'm asking your opinion.
But you haven't read it, so I'm just making that clear. Wow. That makes it very clear about the injustices of slavery in vivid detail.
He's
so
rejecting the media narrative.
Anyone that read that and then listens to Kamala would know that she's lying. And that particular provision about the skills, that was in spite of slavery, not because of. The AP course has made that same point. Other courses have made that same point. Nobody said anything about that. And
until
Dr.
it was Florida.
Allen and those people will say, look, this is what was used.
And then they made it like Florida. They put it all on Florida because it's not just Florida either. So he rejected the media narrative, which is what Tim Scott needs to learn how to do. He didn't accept it. Now, after this, we had Congressman Byron Donalds who responded to it. And he tweeted, the new African-American standards in Florida are good, robust, and accurate. That being said, the attempt to feature the personal benefits of slavery is wrong and needs to be adjusted. That obviously wasn't the goal, and I have faith that the Florida Department of Education will correct this. And he told one of the local outlets in Florida that he was going to have a conversation with the people at the State Board of Education and the hopes of getting them to fix the section. It wasn't a section. It was a sentence in it. And I had asked, I said, well, did he do that before talking to the press about it? And did he ask why the College Board was silent? Now, DeSantis, then I'm going to come back to that because there's an asterisk there. DeSantis had called Harris's situational hysteria a hoax, that he was going back and forth with reporters. And then after Donalds had said something, then it was DeSantis's comms guy who had said that Donalds had sided with Kamala Harris. And that angered Donalds. And he tweeted out, he said, what's crazy to me is I express support for the vast majority of the new history standards and happen to oppose one sentence that seemed to dignify the skills gained by slaves as a result of their enslavement. He says, anyone who can't accurately interpret what I said is disingenuous. He goes, just another reason why I'm proud to have endorsed Trump. But see, I think that, and I talked to him actually before the show. He reached out to me. We'll talk about that so you understand the full perspective. Because I understand that he doesn't, I mean, nobody wants to make it look like they're agreeing with Kamala, but how else do you define two people thinking the same thing about the same thing? Anybody? I mean, I'm not being mean. I like him. How do you define that? If Kane likes Hawaiian Punch and I like Hawaiian Punch, do we agree that we like, oh, but how do you describe, you see what I'm, I feel as though there were some Republicans who thought they could take this media's red herring and use it as a cudgel in the primary battle, but it backfired. Because now you have the CBC, Congressional Black Caucus, threatening to get the Justice and Education Departments to investigate Florida's curriculum because they're claiming that it could, they want a, quote, aggressive legal strategy. They're saying that it could violate federal discrimination laws. The same DOJ that worked with the FBI to classify school board parents as domestic terrorists. How do you think this is going to work out? I'm going to come back to this because it blew up after this. Kane got screamed at yesterday, not by me. And I want to talk about this coming up after headlines. We got a lot. So we got some culture. And I got to tell you about this guy who spent $15,000 to look like a dog. Mm-hmm, that happened. And I'm never going to forgive the people in the chat for actually pretending that the story that I don't want to talk about, for actually acknowledging that it was real, because I was going to pretend that we hadn't seen it. But now I can't. So you can thank them when Florida Man comes up. Thank them. Mm-hmm. It's all their fault. All right, as we get moving, our partners for this portion of our program is our friends over at Rough Greens. Why did this have to come after the Manatee thing? Anybody? Come on. All right, let's... Yeah, it's... And the dog suit. What is wrong with the story placement today? Gosh!
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So this is really cool. Students at Stanford University have developed, like, glasses, like eyewear glasses, that transcribe speech in real time for people who are deaf. That's actually amazing. It's called Transcribe Glass. That's incredibly amazing that they did that. That's one of the coolest things I think I've seen. Just 4.5 minutes of vigorous exercise per day lowers the risk of cancers by up to a third. Scientists have brought, this is how horror stories start, a 46,000-year-old worm back to life. They want to raise more than 100 generations of offspring from a single round worm. That's disgusting. I went long last segment, so we're a little short here. I'll make it up to you next hour. But we got a lot more in store. You don't want to miss a second.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
Transgender people have been around for a long time, and they have rights, and they need to be respected. I read Ms. Scanlon's testimony. I wasn't here to hear it, and I think Penn didn't deal with your situation like they could have and should have in putting up some type of different barriers in the women's area of the locker room, but that's another issue. But things should be dealt with in a different way. This is an easy way for people to try to get points. Pick on a minority group that is the most minority and least understood in our country.
So this is Steve Cohen, a Democrat from Tennessee in Congress. And this was at the House Judiciary Subcommittee on the Constitution and Limited Government hearing on families who were being coerced and, you know, blackmailed about putting their kids through all this gender transition stuff. Gender transition. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lesh here with you, bottom of this second hour. So Cohen says, yeah, we need some type of barrier in women's locker room. My first thought was, yeah, it's called a men's locker room. Yeah. You mean like a wall and then another wall and then another wall and then another wall with a door in it? It's called a men's locker room. But he inadvertently says, yeah, we need some type of barriers. He didn't mean to do that. He didn't mean to take the L, but he did. I mean, that's, he admits that so they don't have to be in the same area as the dudes who are pretending to be women. Now, by the way, during this same argument in the hearing, this was earlier today, can we get the Chip Roy audio? Because I'd like for this to be my ringtone. Because part of this was they had athletes who were also on the swim team with Leah Thomas talking about how they were, you know, forced and they had to take these basically behavioral brainwashing classes to try to make them feel more comfortable changing with a dude and swimming and being naked by a dude in a locker room, you know, who's pretending to be a woman. This is Chip Roy on the floor of the House. Listen.
And I'm going to keep saying it. I'm going to keep saying that Leah Thomas is a dude, and I'll say it here, and I'll say it on social media, and I'll say it on the streets. And if they dare try to stop me, that's what the First Amendment is all about. And we're going to stand up and defend that. And we're going to stand up and defend normalcy.
And women. And defend women as well. I mean, the fact that you had, you know, Democrats who were forced to kind of acknowledge, well, not kind of, they were forced to acknowledge, yeah, this is what's happening. Yeah, maybe they should have a partition. It's called a whole other locker room. Whole other locker room. I felt so bad for some of these women who were testifying to all of this, to hearing what they had to go through, hearing what some of these kids went through. That's not informed consent. It is shocking. Audio Sunbite 18. This is one of the female athletes. She responds to Cohen's remarks about the barriers in the locker room. Listen to this.
Ms. Scanlon, we just heard my Democrat colleague, Mr. Cohen, say that your circumstance could have been fully resolved if we'd have just had some barriers up in the women's showers. Do you think that that's a sufficient way to resolve what we're dealing with here?
I think by Representative Cohen admitting that we need barriers acknowledges there are biological differences between men and women. And by acknowledging that we need to have private spaces that are separate from each other, why can't we just use the locker rooms that we've always used, the men's and the women's? If you're acknowledging that we need protection and privacy from these men, then you're acknowledging that the locker rooms we've always used are the correct ones.
Boom. Boom. She said it perfectly. By the way, I love Gates's grin because he's like, I'm going to totally ask you a rhetorical question and you know the answer to it. But really, I'm just kicking Cohen in the jimmies. So here's the question. She made a great point. Why not just use the locker rooms that you always... Can you believe... Listen to this. Everything is semantics. It's semantic Olympics. Well, how about some barriers? Like a wall in the locker room? And a door?
Separate room?
Now, when we were starting this hour, I was telling you about the thing that you were hearing about, the Florida Department of Education stuff. And we played Tim Scott's soundbite, which I thought that was a major mistake of Tim Scott. You never accept the media's partisan, false, dishonest narrative as a way to try to score a political point on somebody. You don't ever do that. It's hard to defend. It makes me not want to defend people against media malpractice when I see media malpractice being committed to them, against them, done against them, because if they want to use it to advance themselves. Right. I just have a major problem with that, because you can't have it both ways. You can't be a beneficiary and then the victim. So we were talking about, you know, the Florida Department of Educational Standards, and I was relaying to you the quotes, the remarks, when we played the audio soundbite of Dr. Allen, who was, I mean, he's one of the people. I mean, he helped to craft this curriculum, these new standards that were passed last week. And Allen is the member of the Florida African American History Standards Work Group. Civil rights activist, scholar. He talked about his family, descendants of slaves. And he was explaining how he doesn't want to change a word that everyone's objecting to. Because, see, the old standards said, in addition, quote, to agricultural work, enslaved people learned specialized trades and worked as painters, carpenters, tailors, musicians, healers in North and South. Once free, they said American-Americans. That's actually, that screenshot is from the literal PDF that's linked, and it's still there. So if you click on the link that says page 72 on my Substack, it actually goes and you can see the error. It says, once free, African-Americans use these skills to provide for themselves and others. That's actually the current old standard, right? The one that Dr. Allen and other scholars created when they put this packet together. It says instruction includes how slaves develop skills, which in some instances could be applied for their personal benefit. And so the question that was asked by the reporter to DeSantis was, so you found slavery beneficial? That was the false narrative too that was presented to Tim Scott. And Tim Scott just embraces it with a bear hug. Instead of saying, wait, are you, let's understand the language here. What are you saying is beneficial? Because literally nobody said slavery was beneficial. And then Dr. Allen was explaining how this curriculum, and these are his quotes, is about having people who live the experience, who live the history, tell their stories. And he was saying, he gave the example of his own grandfather, who his actually great-grandfather, who said that, you know, he emphasized his point by calling back the wording of the curriculum and said, quote, hence from his resourcefulness, we derive benefits. He says, I think that anyone that would try to change that language would be denying that his great-grandfather, he said, had made any contribution. I certainly would not endorse doing that. And he talked about how Douglass had learned to read and exploited his benefit and his country's benefit thereafter, was his quote. He says, such examples are numerous, and they are detailing the stories of those who suffered the indignity of slavery time and again. And then after Kamala Harris had assailed the, by the way, Kamala Harris loved the old curriculum, defended it when the AP pilot course, that was when they included the queer theory and all this other stuff, and Florida Department of Education rejected it. She got mad. She was praising the curriculum. She assailed the new standards passed last week. But it's interesting. She said nothing about the language being the same in the new and the old. I mean, it's virtually the same in the new and the old. And it's interesting that the College Board is also very oddly silent, as everyone's criticizing what is essentially also their provision. So Byron Donalds had waded into the fray and had tweeted that he didn't agree with it. Then there was the response from the comms person on the DeSantis team, who said that he was, you know, agreeing with Kamala Harris then. And that angered Donalds, and he reminded everyone that he endorsed Trump. So here's where we are now. And I had asked, I'm like, I get it that he's hesitant to say that he agrees with her on this point, but I don't know how. And I'm not talking about the whole of curriculum. I'm talking about this sentence, which we're literally down to arguing its semantics. How do you define two people who think the same thing about the same thing? That's it. I really do feel like this was a media red herring and that some wanted to use it as a primary cudgel, but then it backfired. Because no one was saying at all that, no, I mean, literally no one said that it was, that slavery was beneficial. That's the media smear. And you have Republicans that are taking it. The left is so mad that they lost Florida. The best defense that they can do is resurrect accusations of racism while trying to whitewash the contributions of Florida's own minority voters and parents everywhere who have objected, black and white, you know, Democrat, Republican, everybody. And Allen, as I said, he illustrated this, meaning that even in the oppressive indignity of slavery, you could not put out the flame of resilience. And I just feel like this could be handled such a big way, such a much different way. Now, what happened is I had tweeted, and you know, sometimes when we're trying to watch people, because, And I, unfortunately, I don't like having to post receipts on people. And I don't like having to go at other Republicans or say things to other Republicans, you know, publicly. I did not have Congressman Donald's number. He got mine and texted me today, this morning. So last night I had tweeted, because when the Congressional Black Caucus announced that they were pushing the White House and the Justice Department and everybody else to develop an aggressive legal strategy to go after Florida for this, I had tweeted, I'm sure the same DOJ that smeared school board parents as domestic terrorists will do a nonpartisan job here too. Any comment? And I had tagged Byron Donalds. I mean, within minutes, his press guy, Harrison Fields, called Kane. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with squeakers and COD lobbies, if you've ever played Call of Duty. There was a phenomenon back in the late aughts where you would have like these 12-year-old kids and they'd be in Call of Duty lobbies and they would be screeching and screaming and yelling and cussing. So he basically went squeaker from a COD lobby on Kane, screamed at him, right? Screamed at you, told him, I told you I was classless and unprofessional and cheap.
Yep.
Told me I was cheap. Told you I was cheap.
Right.
Did he say hi when you picked up the phone? What happened?
No, he just went right into it.
So it was just... it was just that? Immediately right off the bat?
Yeah. What the hell is your boss doing? That was, I think, the first line he said. And that's when I tried to screen record, like, right away. But for some reason, it didn't record.
Like, no greetings. Call. Greetings and salutations, Kane. It is I, the comms person. So, well, I'm sorry that he yelled at you.
No, it's all good. I mean,
not, I don't like when people yell at the people I work with. That's
and
not cool.
You know me. I don't match anyone's negative energy. I just,
you're like
I
a, let him, mentally, you're a hippie, but not, kind of, you're like a metalhead, but you're mentally
of,
a hippie.
Right. Kind of.
It's weird.
So just let him get it out and try to explain to him that I don't control you or your Twitter.
Yeah. Kane was based. You were like, I'm sorry you feel this way.
Right. You know, she just asked me whether or not you guys had responded to my couple of requests, and I told her no, and then that's all I know.
Because it started at like 10 in the morning yesterday, and we were asking for today. And then Fields was on Twitter saying, well, you only started asking at 3:45, and I'm like, dude, do not make me start posting screenshots, because I don't like doing that. So anyway, long story short, I mean, it was a mess on Twitter. And I was kind of shocked, and I like Byron Donalds. So I'm like, well, there's a reason that he's got you as his press guy. So I don't, you know, do I want to cut your head off rhetorically? Like, how do I do this? Because, you know, I mean, if you work well for him, that's one thing. But you're not going to yell at the people I work with, and you're not going to sit here and run me down. I don't care who you are. If you're a politician, I'm going to ask you questions and I'm going to disagree with you. I disagree with everybody. Like, friend, I mean, I've disagreed with absolutely everybody. And me liking one candidate more than another candidate, I still call balls and strikes. Like, I don't want RFK in a government position. No. But here's the thing. So Congressman Donald texted me this morning and he said, give me a call when you got a chance. So I called him. And the first thing that he had said was he told me he was talking to Fields, his comms guy, and he apologized to me for Fields' actions. And he said that he's going to talk and he's going to apologize for it. And I don't know if that meant like publicly or how that meant. But we talked a little bit about, you know, where we are in looking at this educational thing. And I had asked him, because what I was concerned about is now all of this media narrative stuff has gotten the CBC in, and, you know, we still have the same people running the DOJ and the FBI and all of that. I don't want parents in Florida to get targeted out of like retribution for this. And so I asked him, I said, well, if they do more than just saber rattle, and they start really going after these educators and some of these parents and that, are you going to, he said, absolutely. That's, you know, he goes, that's, he said that was unacceptable. And he said he would absolutely, he would push back on the CBC for that. So we'll see how this all unfolds. But, you know, I appreciate Congressman Donald's reaching out. We'll see what Fields says, if he apologizes or not. I don't know. But yeah, that was a very interesting evening. Very interesting evening. So the only other time I've been yelled at like that, I was yelled at like that. I don't think you've been yelled at like that before by anybody. Was Claire McCaskill yelled at me like that one time at a press conference. I asked her a question and she turned into a dragon and blew fire and bit my head off and then flew around the room. It was wild.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right. I don't know if I should apologize for this story or not.
Yes.
Out of all of our years of Florida Man.
You should.
Oh, man. All right. Let's just do it. How do I say this? So, okay, you know the sea cows in Florida, right? The manatees?
Yes.
Well, apparently, when they start feeling like Nancy Mace's fiance before a prayer breakfast, they just lose all sense of reason. And they don't care who or what they're by. They're going to go to town. And so, a popular Florida manatee literally had sex with its manatee brother to death. That's the story. That's it. That's the story. Now, I don't even, this is so horrible. So it had a, manatee people, the Marie, I can't even talk. They said that they're not too meticulous about who or what their partners are. They just, I mean, they're sea cows. Come on. But they said that it was the Hugh and Buffett, the 38-year-old Hugh manatee, died unexpectedly at the Moat Marine Laboratory and Aquarium in Sarasota. And the injury was because Buffett, well, you know. And they said that they, well, Buffett tried to get engage in mating behavior and tore a 14.5-centimeter long spot in the ventral wall of his of Hugh's colon. And the marine people, the aquarium people saw it, but they thought that it would actually do more damage, I guess more damage than death, to try to stop them. And I was like, you couldn't just like get a broom and be like, knock it off. But they're manatees and they're like tons. They weigh tons. So I don't know. Anyway, that happened. I was going to ignore this story until the chat talked about it. So now here we are. That's how you get a Florida. That's your Florida man for today. The manatees, that one of them had sex with each other to death. There you go. Third hour next.
Earlier this week.
Let me first correct you. Were you there when I said that? Okay, then what did I say? Okay, so you're claiming that I said we're going to impeach the president. I floated the idea of impeachment. Okay, so you're wrong. So if you record, go back and watch. I said impeachment inquiry. There is a big difference. And let me explain it because maybe not everybody understands it. What impeachment inquiry does when you vote on the floor, it gives you the apex of power of Congress. If they do not provide the information we need, then we would go to an impeachment inquiry. Impeachment inquiry. What simply is an investigation and providing Congress the power to do that investigation. So I'm glad you asked a question that I could clarify that you misinterpreted and misstated.
Whoo! That's how you reject a media narrative, Tim Scott. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, top of this third hour. That's Kevin McCarthy, who I thought did a very good job of stopping that false, dishonest framing in its tracks and resetting it with the proper perspective. And, of course, he's talking about the impeachment of, I mean, goodness, now who are we? Who really doesn't stand to be impeached at this point?
Right.
Garland, Mayorkas, Becerra, Biden. Yep. I mean, who doesn't at this point? Now, I under a couple of things, because this, because I'm going to play Rand Paul's soundbite here in a moment. I disagree with Rand Paul, but at the same time, I also understand one of the points that he's making. So what Kevin McCarthy is saying is very different from what Democrats did with Trump. McCarthy, you know what he's talking about there? It rhymes with shmvestigation. Something that Democrats did not do. Because normally, you know, when you have this impeachment process, I don't know. I mean, they literally impeached him without a criminal charge. They're just like, we don't like you. Impeach. And that's literally what it was. If you read the official printout, it is, we tell I don't like him. That was it. There wasn't a charge. They just didn't like him. That's never happened. So what McCarthy's talking about is not doing what Democrats did, which was dumb down and weaponize the impeachment process, make it a cheap parlor trick, make it this thing where if anybody doesn't like somebody, oh, we don't like what you did, impeach, impeach, impeach. It's not meant to be thrown around like, you know, rice at a wedding. There's supposed to be a point to it. And you're supposed to have an investigation and you hear the evidence. And then you go, Democrats skipped all of that. They skipped over all of it. And they went, nope, just impeach him. So what McCarthy's talking about is, well, we don't want to defecate all over the Constitution the way that they did. So we're actually, because unlike with Trump, there actually is evidence here. I mean, there's oodles of it, oodles of evidence, lots of receipts. They're going to do their investigation, get together their evidence, and then have a hearing, which, just pause for a moment on that point. A hearing before an impeachment. You have your, you know, your the investigative process, and all of the information that so far has been broken up into little bitty bites, into tiny, you know, one day here, 2 day here, 3 day here, different hearings over the span of several years, all together in one thing. Wow. Kane, that's $1 billion video. With a B. And it would just be pummeling. That's what he's talking about doing. Then having your impeachment trial. And there's, without saying it, he's, and I'll give him this credit, he's also understanding that there's a little bit, you got to also have the court of public opinion on your side. Not that they don't, but a lot of people, I don't think y'all realize, like, you all know everything that is going on with all of this down to, like, you know, the itemized list. Not everybody does, because not everybody pays attention to everything like you guys do. So there are people who literally, I am not even kidding you. I had a conversation with someone last week who literally did not know about the books in the schools. And it wasn't, and they were kind of a moderate. It was just, you know, we were out and we ran into like a friend of a friend. We were talking. They were, you know, a moderate, but they're not like a mean moderate. They're just kind of like bopping along in life. Like, yeah, yeah. They heard stuff about books in school, but they thought, oh, it's probably just political arguing. She literally did not know. And she was like, what do you mean, like, pornographic? I'm like, really? And it was a quick conversation. I mean, it really, I think we were there for like 20 minutes and you know, everybody was talking to, you know, somebody else. And I'm like, oh gosh, I can't believe I'm doing this. I pull up my phone, a quick Google search. And I mean, she was aghast. She's like, oh, well, surely that's not in the school. I'm like, no, 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 it's in the school. Well, surely it's just like listed like in their database or something, not actually in the shelves. And I'm like, actually a woman that we both know, her child pulled it off the shelf in middle school down the street from us, brought it home. That's how the story on this book broke. And then they found out they were literally on the shelves of all these schools, not just in this list in a database. She was like, oh my gosh. A lot of people, like I said, they just don't pay attention to all this stuff. So having that, having the court of public opinion like that is priceless. And it goes so, it's such a long way, because you owe that to the American people. If you're going to drag them through an impeachment proceeding, you owe them that process. The American people were robbed of that process because there was no evidence. What are they going to do? Let's look at Exhibit A, nothing. Exhibit B, nothing, nothing, nothing. So I get what he's saying. Let's play this Rand Paul clip, because this is what he was talking about. Rand Paul, when he was asked about impeachment. And I, you know, let's play this first. Let's listen to his soundbite here. He was asked specifically on this.
It's not good for the Republic to keep impeaching presidents and indicting presidents. Yeah. All of this stuff is destructive. The other side says, oh, they want to, they're for preserving democracy. They're pitting everyone against each other, and they're destroying the fabric of our Republic. So I think we have to be careful not to fall into the same trap.
I understand what he's saying there. He's not saying don't do it, but he's saying you got to be careful about falling into the same trap. But luckily for him, that's not what's happening, because there's actual evidence. And they're talking about honoring the full process. So I get it. There's a process to it. I'll lean back on John Adams for a moment. There's a reason why the process is important. Even Washington understood this. Back when, you know, the Crispus Attucks, the first fatality in the American War of Independence, you know, with the Boston massacre in the square. There were those, you know, those British soldiers that in order to fully settle it, there needed to be an actual trial, and they needed representation. And the colonists at the time were like, no, no, no. We all know you're guilty. We're not doing any of that. Let's go. They wanted to hang him up immediately. But John Adams and some of the other founders realized that there was a very, they were at a very careful point. Because one of the cornerstones of our republic is due process. You are afforded due process. You are afforded your day in court. You are afforded, you know, you can defend yourself against your accusations. You're presumed innocent until proven guilty. And he understood that for a nation that was striking out on its own, not only for the nation to be taken seriously, but for the nation to take itself seriously, and for the people to actually take the nation seriously, and really the republic, you got to practice what you preach. Do you really stand for these principles or not? And so he defended them. And this is one of my favorite stories at the very beginning of the revolution or the War of Independence, because he realized the importance of it. Now, he doesn't like the British. I mean, it's John Adams. Come on. But he loved the Republic. He didn't like the British. He loved the Republic. He didn't like what they did. He thought it was abhorrent. But he loved due process and the principles that the Republic espoused and stood for. And he realized, you know, you can't put out that the light that is the beacon of liberty that quick. And so he defended them. And so I kind of apply that here. You know, as much as we dislike the Bidens, and as much as we dislike, you know, I hate this two tiers of justice, there's something to be said. I love the Republic more than I loathe them. And I love them a lot. But I love the Republic and I love our principles. And it has to take that kind of adherence to principles. Because if we don't, then they're lost. I mean, at this point, the Republic survives as long as we are willing to honor it. It's a harsh reality. So a few other things. That story about the Florida stuff, the Department of, oh gosh, it's blown up, blown up, blown up, blown up. You have Kamala Harris, who just remarked on it again. NBC just came out with a piece on it. And they're all running with this dishonest framing. And I want to say this, you know, the reason why there are some conservatives that are criticizing and disagreeing with Tim Scott on this is because he accepted a dishonest partisan framing of the issue that was in question, that slavery was beneficial. And instead of challenging that dishonest narrative, he accepted it for the purpose of using it as a political cudgel. And that's the problem. Because it's one thing for primary candidates and their surrogates to disagree with each other, obviously. I mean, it's the whole point. They disagree with each other on issues. They argue with each other. It is another thing entirely to weaponize the media bias that you claim to hate for and to present this false narrative, all to score a political point. I mean, you're either against media bias or you're not. And I don't care if somebody is for Trump or DeSantis or whomever, or Ramaswamy or Scott or Haley or whatever, because that's not what this issue is about. This issue is bigger than the primary. You are accepting a false narrative that is designed to resurrect racial animosity. I agree with my friend David Horowitz. He said that, you know, this is racial pandering, slander about new curriculum. And I understand that, you know, people want to promote their candidates, but I also agree that you need to really think about what you're willing to sacrifice in order to do that. I do not like any politician enough to sacrifice that. If I saw Ron DeSantis out there accepting a false narrative, I'd be all over Twitter on it, because I love my republic more than I like anybody serving it. That's just the straight chase of it. Doesn't mean that you dislike someone. And this is something else that the right needs to remember before we launch into headlines here. And then we're going to talk about some two-way stuff and all that. Disagreement does not equal attack. criticism does not equal cancellation. And arguments aren't war. Politics don't have to be personal. And I'm talking about with each other on the right. We got enough to deal with the communists, you know? I mean, it doesn't have to be personal unless people want to be foolish about it. And I say this as somebody for 10 years, over 10 years. I have been screamed at by arenas. People have threatened to kill me. I have had hit pieces written on me. Reporters stalk me. I mean, I don't think I need to substantiate anything on that end. But when you've been in it long enough, you learn a few things, and that's what I've learned. And I hope people take, you know, some of the hard-won wisdom of, you know, some of our experiences and apply that to what they're doing now.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Kane says that you don't just fall out of a hot air balloon. This is true. This was in Connecticut. An event volunteer was injured because they fell out of a hot air balloon on Sunday night. This is a Guilford Police Department. They said that they responded to the balloon glow and laser show and at the fairgrounds, and someone fell from a hot air balloon. It was a 69-year-old man. He was helping passengers on and off when apparently the balloon began to rise, and he was hanging onto the exterior of the balloon's basket, and he was about 10 to 15 feet off the ground. I'm thinking he's like all the way in the air, but still, like, how you let go of it, wouldn't you? Like, if you're hanging on the exterior and it's, why would you still hang on? Let go. Why would you be hanging on to it? I don't understand why. Okay, well, there you go. A Boston man is accused of attacking a woman for not saying good morning. People are sensitive. Dorchester man, he was charged. He punched a woman 7 times in the head during an attack. He's going to face some serious charges after he was charged with attacking this 59-year-old woman who he accused of not saying good morning to him. Suffolk County District Attorney said in a news release. 33-year-old Ian Atkinson. So he was charged. I mean, she like had a fractured nose, all of this. And then he began like driving away. They didn't catch him, so he's going to be going to jail. Just the question is how long. Let's see, melted crayon art from ABC 15. Got a $500 charity donation. Why didn't I think of this? Doing melted crayon art. It's actually kind of cool. You just put your crayons out in the sun. If you're in, well, you got to be in Arizona or Texas, you know, or something like that to make that happen. A New York City crane. Did you guys see this? It was sparked by a hydraulic fluid leak. Dozens of New Yorkers were injured when molten debris began raining down over Hudson Yards. There's video of this thing, too. It is wild. It was between 41st Street and 10th Avenue, like right there. And that's like near Midtown, isn't it? Just collapsed. Is building this residential skyscraper just collapsed. We have Rick Echter who's joining us. He does something every year, 12th annual Legally Armed in Detroit free shooting event for women. Awesome stuff. He'll join us next. Stick with us.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all, live or on demand. The Dana Show.
Welcome back to the program. You can listen across the country. You can watch the simulcast as well online. Also, channel 347, DirecTV. I want to put some stats in your head. They had to actually admit this. This is a Harvard study that the number of women who are getting their concealed carry permit is on the rise. More women now than ever. And they say it might be because of, you know, fears about, you know, the, you know, just increasing crime or, you know, they want to make sure that, you know, they can kind of take control of their own self-defense here. They actually went and talked to some firearms instructors. There's also a story over at ABC, increasing number of women choosing to carry firearms. And I have a handful of stories here, too, just in the past several months where I've noticed some good women with a gun. You always hear the good guy with a gun, good ladies with a gun who either were stopping home invaders or fending off muggers or something to that effect. There is something out there. More and more women over the past decade they've decided to take charge of their self-defense, and they go and they get their concealed carry permit. But where do they go? Because a lot of times, you know, maybe they'll go with a father, brother, husband, friends. It's always good, though, to go with other ladies. And I think that that's one of the reasons why this event that we're talking about right now has been so successful. It's the 12th annual Legally Armed in Detroit free shooting event for women. And one of these people, one of these individuals, these instructors who has been instrumental in contributing to this increasing number of women arming themselves, taking charge of their self-defense, is my friend Rick Echter. He's the CEO of Legally Armed in Detroit. and you can find him. I've linked it. It's up on social media too. I got it up on Twitter. Rick, always good to see you. Congratulations. Another successful event. I know that the event is tomorrow and Sunday. This is the last day to register. You can go to legallyarmedindetroit.com. Find the daytime that works for you. You have an Eventbrite link there. Tell me about this. 12 years now and going. What have you, the last event you have, compare the last event you had to the first event you had.
You know, the first event, I might have been the most optimistic out of all the events. Are you still there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And because I felt that on that first event, I was going to train like 2,000 ladies, right? I was just full of optimism. I didn't take into account that no one pretty much knew who I was, if I was, you know, legitimate or whatever. But, you know, 50 students for that first time out was actually pretty darn good.
That's awesome. But,
you know, I've been fortunate to grow this organically, and 2020 we hit a high water mark of almost 2,000 ladies.
Wow.
We took a dip down to 2,000 in 21, and then in 22 we went back up to 1,200. And so I'm following that steady progression. And this year I was thinking that 1,500 would be a good goal. And a local news website, MetroDetroitNews.com, ran a press release for me. And it was so popular that registrations have been flying nonstop for like the last 2 days. In just 2 days, I'm now thinking that I may not be able to actually take care of everyone and to train everyone, because it becomes a resource issue. And so I would like really hate to ruin this opportunity and not be able to take them in mm-hmm. and give them the experience, give them a range safety briefing. And here's the big part. No, at no cost, free range time, free instruction, eyes, ears, target, you know, the whole shebang. And so, you know, that's why I'm just reaching out. And if Dana, if you can help me get the word out that I don't need a lot of help, just a little bit, like this $3,000 will help me get another 500 ladies processed in terms of all the resources.
That's amazing.
That's all I need.
I think we can do that. I think we can do that. And I'm talking with our good friend, Rick Ector, everything is supplied. And I want to let everyone know that, because sometimes, you know, women who've never been to the range before, they're like, well, what do I need? Do I need to get everything supplied? Like, you got the ear pro, you got the eye pro, all the protection. It's all supplied, ready to go. You show up, ready to learn.
All you have to do is just get there. I could step my game up and send an Uber over to get you prepaid and free. But then I'd have to really do some fundraising then. But
this is amazing, though, because you have, I want to let people know, I mean, you can, and it has where you all are, and there's a number of courses that people can select. There's an Eventbrite link for every single one. Whatever time they want to go, they can select it. You, 12 years, I mean, you've been so committed to this. Why did you start this? Why did you start? Because this is, I think, was to go and reach out to women and let them know, look, you can come here, you can learn, ask questions. There's no question that's silly. Whatever you want to know, we're gonna teach you and get you equipped. What motivated you to do this?
You know, I saw a news story on TV, Dana, and it concerned itself with a woman who'd been violently attacked, raped and killed and left and discarded on the street as if she was trash. And it really disturbed me to my core. I mean, yes, a heinous crime, but I couldn't stop not thinking about it. And so I was sufficiently motivated to do something. And, you know, on the level that I was at, the only thing I could think to do was contact 5 fellow firearms instructors and say, hey, let's take the social media and let's just put the offer out there and see how many ladies we can give a free shooting lesson to. And that first iteration yielded 50. And lo and behold, I am knocking on the door of 2,000 again. We hit 2,000 in 2020 when the world stopped.
Mm.
But I think that organically, I'm hitting 2,000 this time. The only thing is based on me expecting 1,500, I didn't budget for another 500 ladies, so I know I'm sounding like a broken record, Dana.
No, well,
I don't want to turn them away and say, no, We're sold out. Right. You know, I don't want to do that.
Right. Well, we'll see what we can do. But and you can go to the legallyarmedindetroit.com for folks listening or watching the simulcast. And there's a donation button up there as well because it provides free shooting lessons. And again, everything is included. I'm thinking about this because over 12 years and you got 2,000 ladies this time signed up. I think of self-defense statistics. Have you, and I'm wondering, I just can't imagine how many women, perhaps because you've trained them and they've gone through this course and they can defend themselves and they're situationally aware. I wonder how many, crimes have been thwarted, horrible crimes against women have been thwarted by the efforts that, you've undertaken there.
I hate to say it, but I mean, it's the truth. Women are the prize target. I mean, they look you up and they size you up and they say, well, you're smaller, you're shorter, you're probably distracted with those little ones with you, your children, you're fiddling around with the car seat. And it's almost too easy. In their minds, they're probably thinking, yeah, I need to go ahead and do this. And I'm thinking, hey, it's time to level the playing field. A firearm is the greatest equalizer. It puts people on equal footing. The short against the tall, the small with the big, the meek with the violent. I mean, it levels the playing field, and anyone with sufficient modicum of training can easily master the skill to use the firearm and protect themselves. And you know what? I'm personally tired of seeing women in the media being attacked and assaulted. It's time to make it stop.
God love you. Our good friend Rick Ector, go to Legally Armed in Detroit. It is the 12th annual Legally Armed in Detroit free shooting event for women. Today's the last day to register. And folks, you can make a donation as well. If you can't go up there, maybe you can make it happen for somebody else. And the event is tomorrow and Sunday. And again, legallyarmedindetroit.com. Find the day and time that works for you. Click the Eventbrite link. You get signed up. And it's done at two ranges, recoil firearms and target shooting sports, both located in Taylor, Michigan. And this is awesome. You've trained over 7,000 women total.
7,500. You know what? I'm trying to get at 10,000 now.
Oh, we're going to get there. You're going to get there. Rick's going to get there.
I'm on the doorstep of 10,000. 10,000.
I love that.
10,000 in 12 years.
I love that. God bless you for what you do. For real. Because you saw a need and you went out, how can I serve this need? How can I fix this problem? And just to know that, there were women out there before who maybe thought that they couldn't carry and then they went to one of your courses and realized that they could. I mean, what you've done is to help women take charge of their own self-defense and really help empower them. So, on behalf of ladies, Rick, thank you so much for caring and doing that. God love you, my friend. And it's so selfless to do. Not many people sacrifice the time that you do.
Let me tell you this one thing, Dana. Of all the volunteers, the firearms instructors and range safety officers that volunteer of their own time away from work and their families, they all to a person are just filled completely with the knowledge and sensation that they've done a truly good thing. And it's really its own reward because it really makes you as an individual feel good about what you did.
Amen. Amen to that. Well, the website is legallyarmedindetroit.com. Go and check it out. The 12th annual. I know you're going to have a wonderful event this year and the next year and the year after that. Rick Ector, God bless you, my friend. Thank you so much.
Sure 10,000. I'm going to make it through, and thank you.
Of course. Always, always, always here for you. Thank you so much, Rick. Good to see you.
Bye.
That's legallyarmedindetroit.com. And I got to say, he's one of the most joyful people too. He really is. And you learn so much in his classes because he covers everything. And I love that they provide everything as well. Because a lot of ladies, when they go to the range for the first time, they don't really know everything that they need to bring. You got to have your ear protection, your eye protection and all that stuff. And they walk you through. And you're going with other women. I mean, I've heard stories of listeners because we got listeners in Michigan and they say that they've gone to these events before. They've gone with their friends or, their sister, sister-in-law, their moms, whatever. And they go and they have a great afternoon or a morning, depending on what class they pick. And they learn everything. And then you can continue. you know, your education as well. You also have that opportunity. So this is fantastic. I'm grateful that he does this and reaches out and advertises it. And to the Metro Daily up there, kudos to them for running his press release. It's not often that you hear about a news outlet running a press release for something like this. So kudos to them for doing that.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
That even Congressman Byron Donalds, very strong supporter of President Trump, spoke out against the curriculum that DeSantis, you know, that was approved in Florida. Why do you think this is happening? I mean, it's this reckoning is like...
Well, I think you and I know
minority rule. This is not what the America wants.
But this is an agenda that has been a long time in the making and is being carried out. Planned.
Yeah. Well, no. And I saw this story. I got to tell you this. It's NBC. It says looking for a fight. Ron DeSantis tangles with Kamala Harris, and all these other stories like this. They're acting like all these Republicans and these educators went to pick a fight with her.
Right.
So it's not even just him. It's like they're two birds with one stone. I told you this was the strategy. She was the one that started this whole thing because she ignored the way the standards were. And it's one sentence that actually was the same in the old. And I explained to you why the scholars who crafted it wanted it included. In fact, you can go to Substack, my newsletter, Chapter and Verse, and I have the interview up there. There's Dr. Allen, who's the civil rights activist who... was explaining why they worded this one sentence this way and, you know, what he said in response to, you know, being challenged about it. And she was the one who said that they were glorifying slavery. I mean, literally the African-American history, the Black history portion of that new standards, it was literally like, headed up by a descendant of slaves, a civil rights activist who's a scholar and probably knows. I would love to, I mean, he could outwit her in a heartbeat. And he reminds me of Thomas Sowell in a way when he was describing, you know, his thought process and, you know, their intentions were when they were coming up with these new standards in these modules. So, I mean, you can go and look at that, but this is going to be all weekend. I'll leave you with this note. There's a guy who spent about $15,000 to look like a border collie.
Classic.
Yeah. He's on YouTube. This dude has 30,000 followers on YouTube. I hate everything.
Of course he does.
He's known only as Toko. He spent, about $15,000. It still, has anyone told him he still doesn't look like a dog? It's a fake collie costume. And it's like movie quality. It looks like a fake stuffed dog head.
Right.
And he like walks around like that. But he can't walk. They have to put him on one of those things that you get when you go to Lowe's and you get some flowers or plants and those flat little pusher things, yeah. Those little carts. Yeah, he gets one of those. And the other dogs know that he's not a dog. I mean, he looks like a fake dog, but he thinks he looks real. He thinks he does. That's how he lives his life. He's like, I am a border collie. But you're not, though. He says he enjoys doing things that only dogs do. I have a major question about that. Does he use a toilet? I'm curious. Man, between this and that manatee story, the Florida manatee, I can't. Man, I'm done with wildlife now. Or even the cosplaying of wildlife. I'm done with it. Today's Stupidity King. What do we got? Heaven help us.
That was a nice case of stupidity right there. But our president, Joe Biden, never disappoints. He was out today talking about a new website you can go to and find out online at invest.com. Listen to what he says here.
You can see exactly where to go if you go to online to go to invest.com. Invest.com.
I would assume that's where you're going to find, you know, all the good stuff he's doing. But if you click on it, it literally does not exist.
Oh my gosh, I thought you were going to say it takes you somewhere gross.
No, it doesn't.
That's why I was, because you were like, put it in your search bar. I'm like, no!
Yeah, I wanted you to see how credible Biden's website is.
Have you noticed that you'll hear about links or you'll see them and you don't want to click on them or enter them in your search bar? Like, you wouldn't eat just like random food from someone. I also wouldn't just like randomly accept like a URL. Have you noticed that that's...
Yeah.
What the digital world has wrought?
I don't blame you.
Yeah, I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. And remember, everybody's on the same side. I promise you, the primary will be over at some point, and it'll stop being nasty. So there's always a brighter tomorrow. And in the meantime, you can find me online. Find us on Substack, Chapter and Verse, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, all of it. God bless. Back with you Monday.